Good morning and welcome to the 2018 December ADM Farm Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of the global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host today, Jake Nieder, and we look forward to having you with us on our call today. Today, we'll be able to hear from BK Morris, who's with us from Fertilizer Week, as well as I'll give an update on our point of view on the fertilizer markets here at ADM. And then we'll be joined by Brian Henry, who's going to give us an update on how he sees the grain markets. BK, if you're on, you can go ahead and start with your update.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is BK with Fertilizer Week. Starting off with urea, we've seen NOLA drop down a little bit below 270 last week, but this week it seems to be creeping back up a little bit. The reason for this, and Jake touched on this on the last call, is that basically we reached the level somewhere around the low to mid 370s where the expectation of replacement costs from overseas outside of the program tons is pretty much zero. Even if you're using the Chinese FOB number, you still end up in a barge somewhere around 275, 278 with no, by our math, with no margin for a supplier or for an importer, pardon me. So we really don't see a consistent price below that going forward. In fact, Fertilizer Week's forecast is that by February, we will be, NOLA will be over 280. Start to back off with the global market after that. Looking at some of the other nitrogens in terms of urea, in terms of ammonia, the key risk we see on ammonia is actually for higher prices, not just in the U.S. in Q1, but also globally. Eurochem's Kingisepp plant is not forecast to really commit to commission until Q2. And any other delays would push that back into basically not being a factor in the global market until the fall of the year. And that means that it won't be a factor in weakening U.S. Gulf prices. And therefore, there won't be that will have a knock-on effect not only on North American merchant ammonia, but also on North American costs for producing DAP and MAP, of course. In terms of phosphates, we are seeing a little bit of a rebound at NOLA right now. There has been some cheaper DAP MAP sales early this week, down in the low to mid 380s at NOLA. But we have also seen some sales over 390 for prompt barges. The import tons that have come in have increased. The market reacted to the loss of the plant in Florida, the Mosaic Plant City operation. We still think there's going to need to be continued imports, and so do overseas suppliers. We are seeing cargoes coming in from Morocco, but also Russia, also Saudi Arabia, and spot cargoes from elsewhere. And the issue here is, even though the loss of production in Canada isn't probably going to be substantially felt until next fall, a large number of domestic distributors are, as in North American distributors, are trying to build a larger business in Canada as a result. So right now, we see if we're using the Tampa as a benchmark for global markets, we see the market down to 410 by the time we get to February, and sort of holding at around that level, give or take, through May. Potash, there was all sorts of reasons. There have been all sorts of reasons for expecting to see slightly higher prices. We've moderated our view on that a little bit. In North America, the reason for this is not because there's been a change in the supply chain or that necessarily we see a more full market, and we certainly don't see the K&S plant being a player significantly this spring in terms of granular red product. But what we're seeing is a great deal of buyer resistance. And when you look at the fill prices offered by Nutrien, the offer prices from Mosaic in the U.S. interior, what we're seeing is then the producer is not rocking the boat. They're happy to they know they can keep selling at this number, and they seem to be willing, or the 320s in the Midwest, and they seem to be willing to continue that. So we don't see I don't see any downside in North American prices in the near term. We will see if there's some upside in the coming spring when people are buying in-season replacement tons for the marketplace. In terms of other products, nitrogen or UAN continues to break its normal link to urea, and by that I mean urea has fallen, but UAN has remained strong. And we don't at this point. I think we need to assume that UAN is going to maintain that strength, as has been pointed out. There's a limited number of suppliers, but also just the logistics of it are helping to keep that price a little stronger than it was. Also, forward prices for ammonia are helping UAN, even though ammonia has lost some ground in the spot market in the U.S. interior, in the north and the North American interior in general. What we are seeing are still forward offers over $500 in the U.S., and I think that is being reflected across the border in Canada. I will stop now. But please, if you have questions, I'll be happy to take them later. Bye-bye.
So I'll go ahead and start with how we're seeing the global fertilizer markets and give an update a little bit on kind of ADM's point of view. We're going to start with nitrogen because I think that's on the forefront of everyone's mind. And right now we have completed definitely the fall ammonia application season, and it's been underwhelming to say the least. I think that producers in general are ending on high inventories and a lot of under-applied locations throughout the Midwest are trying to figure out how they deal with their spring ammonia and nitrogen needs right now. With that being said, likely most of the producers are notifying their current customers that they will not be carrying over ammonia contracts, and that those ammonia contracts will not be something that is available to them through storage or keeping that current fall price. And what they have gone ahead and done is raise their spring price. And what they are ultimately signaling, and I think this is very important, that there will be a very difficult window, difficult logistics window to get the amount of ammonia through the system that we normally would expect to have in the ground and on the field for the fertilizer year. With that being said, the ammonia pipeline only can do so much throughout the spring season. And the only way to get more through that pipeline is to actually extend the spring season. So unless you're making plans for for knifing in your ammonia after planting, but then it's going to be very difficult to figure out how to extend that application window on anhydrous ammonia. So we believe ammonia is driving that. So again, you're saying, okay, there's an oversupply in ammonia, but they're raising their prices. That's not economics 101. But what you're running into here is supply and logistics constraints 101. The producers know very much how much capacity they can get through the system, and they know that the normal amount of nitrogen demand for a 88 million acre corn crop to 92 million acre corn crop, that there is going to be so much nitrogen that that needs that they won't be able to push that through the system and get it to the farm on time. So with that being said, they've already increased their forward ammonia prices. They are asking for basically $100 to $120 higher in ammonia prices than what they are for what they were for the fall. And that's very, very typical where we see that discount for fall application. Essentially, the producers are trying to incent storage on the ground is what they're trying to do. So our outlook on ammonia. Globally, the ammonia consumption remains tight. The industrial sector has been consuming ammonia at a very aggressive rate, and that particularly has been driven by the phosphate producers. But we're starting to see some shifts and changes in that consumption. I'll talk about phosphates in a minute, but we're starting to feel a little bit of an oversupply on phosphates, at least for the next 30 to 60 days. But in nitrogen, back on ammonia, we're seeing them trying to balance out product demand and supply in the marketplace. One of the things that we have to take into account is that urea will be the product that's called on to balance the ammonia need for the spring season. And so with urea and UAN being the balancing products, that's going to put an extra constraint on those products. So again, I'm talking logistics. That's always the same scare tactics you guys have heard this year in and year out. So let's talk basics now about cost of production and what we're seeing the global markets do. So when we look at urea on a cost curve basis, we start to notice that China cost of production is around that $270 a ton FOB China. That seems to be where we start to lose a massive amount of production in China. We're basing that data off of some studies that we've paid for from other publications to help us understand the cost curves in the marketplace. But the first quarter cost curve in the market right now looks to be around that $270 a metric FOB China. When you add in freight and logistics cost to get that to a NOLA barge, convert it from a metric ton to a short ton, it basically says NOLA shouldn't get too much cheaper than around $275 a ton. And that would be at a price where China tons wouldn't be overly incented to come out for export on the world market or to the North American market. We don't necessarily need Chinese tons to balance our S&D. We're just going to need tons from North Africa and or from the Arab Gulf, which has been historical supply points for us. And we look for those producers to be pushing tons here through the fourth quarter and the first quarter. With that being said, though, we still believe that there's an import need and an off-balanced market that that we have to solve for. So with that $270 a ton being the floor price in the marketplace, and we look at the overall demand in the global market, we see that there could become a tightness that develops as we go into spring season. And today, given where NOLA is trading at $275 a ton, we don't see a lot of further downside to today's current market. We started this conversation about $10 ago and said, hey, we're getting towards the bottom percentile of the urea move, and we are there towards the very bottom of what we would feel the cost curves are. Now, can urea prices go lower? Yes, they can. It's the wintertime. And the producers that we're talking about, the Chinese producers, are coal producers. It's based on anthracite coal cost of production and not natural gas producers. Natural gas producers do have a lower cost of production. But our view and belief is that those producers are needed to balance the market, and therefore prices won't drop below where we're at today. With that being said, we don't anticipate any sensitivity further in prices other than we have kind of this lull period of the winter markets. Once we get through this lull, we'll see prices pick back up and move up in the springtime. If you guys start doing your per unit analysis on nitrogen, the urea spreads relative to ammonia and relative to UAN are some of the cheapest that we've seen in a while on a relative basis. Now, to UAN. UAN, that's much more like an oligopoly type price. We're seeing producers have pricing power, realizing that there's basically four people setting the price on UAN in the North American market. And so because of the ability they have to wait and be patient with pricing, we don't see any price decrease coming on UAN in the short term. There might be a few dips, buying dips here as we go into the winter fill program, but by and large, we don't see retail prices correcting. We don't see a massive drop off in overall UAN prices. Producers seem to be overall comfortable with their sales book and their ability to manage storage and get to the spring season. So again, our outlook right now on nitrogen would remain the same as it has been from November, is we believe now is the time you should be looking to lock up a significant portion of your nitrogen needs. On the ammonia front, we do believe that there'll be continued price increases on ammonia through spring season. And like most of these commodities, once we get through the spring season, we'll have that awkward period of prices falling to a reset value versus where we're at in the current prompt market. Now, one thing that we're certain of and we all experienced last spring is there were an inherent amount of logistics costs and delays in getting product to the right market at the right times. So with that being said, we would encourage you to spend time looking at how do you lock up your basis on your product, because that's probably a very large risk that we see out there as well. How do you get your product at the right location at the right price? Pricing may not change dramatically, but you're going to see freight and logistics costs change rather dramatically, which ultimately leads to a higher input cost at the farm gate. On potash, real quickly, we're starting to see an oversupply on potash develop into 2019. We don't believe that plays out in pricing until we get later into 2000 and into second half of 2019, but we are seeing the oversupply starting to build. Producers are a little bit more willing to send tons on a consignment basis, and they're not as aggressive in pushing their prices up. Now, all of them have announced price increases, and all of them will try to get price increases. But again, I think it's going to be a matter of trying to maintain market share over the next coming months as we get through the spring season. By far and large, application on potash was down relative to their expectation on fall. So we have some carryover inventory to work through as well. Our best case on phosphate or on potash right now is that prices remain relatively flat. I'd love to paint an argument that you got to lock it in today. Really, the biggest risk on potash right now is your dry freight logistics. That's probably going to be your biggest driver to the potash component right now. Naturally, there's always issues with supply and a little bit of springtime thing, so it's nice to get it locked up. I don't see downside to your spring pricing. I don't see upside to your spring pricing. And I do see a reset coming for the fall of 19. So I would just continue to wait on that type of demand for further time from now. Overall, on phosphates right now, on first quarter phosphates, we've seen a price correction now from Manola basis down to about $30 a ton, where NOLA's fallen down to about $390 a short ton. With that being said, the global floor prices look to be around that $380 to $275 NOLA. So we don't think there's a lot more room for phosphate prices to fall. We are in that quiet time of the year. This is one of the worst times in the year to be a producer, because they have to basically figure out where to go with their tons. And so there's a lot of discounts and side deals that are done over the following weeks and months. And so my overall point of view on phosphates are that we basically need to be watching right now, buying our spring needs, because we're not seeing a lot more occur from a downward price fall, but we are seeing a lot more potential for movement up as we get into first quarter. If you all remember, I've talked about this several times, the major drivers to phosphate are the three major buying markets, which are North America, India, and Brazil. Brazil and India are taking a break right now, and they will be taking a break for about another month, 30 days to max 45 days. When that break is over with, they'll be back in the market in full force. We'll see them begin to buy again, and we'll see prices start to pick up from there. So right now is a good time to be looking to cover in your spring phosphate needs, because we are in that low period, that period where not a lot of people are going to look to take on that risk, and producers are looking to make deals. So that's kind of my point of view on phosphates right now. Expecting that NOLA price to go back up in second quarter, kind of in that March April timeframe, back up to 400 NOLA on phosphates. So we'll see that move back up of at least a $15 to $20 move back up, and possibly even get back up to 420 where we were at for the fall time. Over on sulfate, I'm a broken record on sulfate. I've been saying it since the fall. I think it's still one of the best buys for nitrogen. I think that we have a lot more upside on sulfate prices. There's more potential for those prices to increase. And the main reasons for that is everyone doesn't think about sulfate until they get into March and April. But again, it's becoming a key nutrient component for growing a healthy crop. And because of that, there's a large race for demand on that sulfate that comes in basically in that March-April timeframe. And we expect prices to drive up rather dramatically during that time. Now, there will be an increase of supply coming to the market on sulfate, but that will not be until June of this year. And so that's going to be late June, and it's going to be starting up in North Canada and then working its way down in the market. And we don't believe that'll have any effect on this growing season's phosphate on sulfate prices. So with that being said, we now have Brian in here with us, and he's going to give us kind of an update on what he sees on the grain markets.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to be with you here this morning. As you guys, I'm sure, have seen, we did have a crop report out yesterday. And again, when it comes to the bean market, we're looking at intimidating supplies of beans here in the U.S., as well as globally. From a global standpoint, bean supplies are raised to 115.3 million metric ton, which is a record. From a U.S. standpoint, we're looking at a situation where you're looking at 955 million bushels from an ending stock standpoint. And while the market has performed better here of late, a lot of this is based on optimism related to trade. And I don't doubt that we're going to get to a point where we can sell some beans to China, as well as, like this morning, we saw it looked like a total of about 240,000 met tons sold to various locations. Those are all positives. But when you look at the supplies and where these supplies are at and the opportunity that's afforded the market, when you have a well-satisfied pipeline and just sheer supply, you really have to wonder how much optimism it's going to take towards trade to really sustain levels well above where we're at. So while we may get announcements related to trade and we may see some positive activity from a trade standpoint when it comes to beans, it really feels like right now the firmer tone is a factor of optimism. Perhaps the funds covering some shorts ahead of the new year, which is very common. And then you're really looking at a situation where the would-be seller is just kind of in a holding pattern here, looking for some type of rally to sell in that market. So where I want to be optimistic towards beans, some type of positive release related to trade, I feel it could potentially put a top in this market. And I do think from the standpoint of whether or not it puts a top in or not, I think sales have to be extended for old and new crop beans on this next rally. When it comes to the corn market, I can be a little more friendly. The trade anticipates, you guys more than us, but everyone kind of went through this awful harvest. We get out after the first of the year, the trade's going to start looking into a little bit of reduction in production for both beans and corn. From a balance sheet on the corn side, with what feels like decent demand more often than not, a little bit of reduction in production can kind of tighten that balance sheet up some. And it feels like we have a chance to get some news that justifies a higher value here in corn. I don't know that it's going to be a real sexy trade. I don't think we're going to see a lot of 7 and 8 and 9 cent higher days. I think it's probably a little more of a grind, but at least I think there's some type of opportunity there. The drags on the corn market right now are we have traded to levels that have really kind of helped satisfy the pipeline to some extent. And from an ethanol standpoint, they're kind of getting beat up from a margin standpoint at this point. So a little bit of increase in energy values and perhaps a better opportunity on the DDG side, which perhaps China could provide, would be certainly a benefit to corn and perhaps allow us a little better opportunity to do some marketing in that market. So I can be a little bit friendly corn. At times here, I can be a little bit friendly the wheat market. From a bean standpoint, I think you, I do really believe that extending sales on rallies in that market is going to be important because 955 million metric ton. Even if you take production down some, you increase crush some, and are able to leave exports where they're at 1.9 billion, it's an awful lot of beans to try and get out from under. And the consensus, I guess, in the trade right now is perhaps we see 4.5 million acres of beans shift to corn or other grains. And frankly, I just don't know that. With where we're at in beans right now, I just don't know that 4.5 million acres is enough. So it feels like it's going to be really hard to sustain higher values in beans.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the grain update. This does wrap up our ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report for December 2018. Our next call will be January 16th, 2018. And we do appreciate you and your business, and we wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. Please visit our ADM Advantage website /fertilizer to get more information about any of the things we've talked about, whether it's the grain markets, how we can help you on the grain side, or whether it's in regards to the fertilizer products. Please visit that website and let us know how we can help you with anything there. Thank you for your time and have a wonderful day.